Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
They call it the Green Hell. 26 kilometers long, with 170 corners. It's the world's toughest circuit. And this weekend, we're racing it for 24 hours. The Nürburgring 24 hours.
Yeah, it's quite a curious one. There's been some overnight BOP changes. So the Audi R8 in SP9 have been given a 10-kilogram increase. So they've gone from 1,295 kilograms to 1,305. But they've also been given 6 brake horsepower by way of a slightly wider air restrictor on that naturally aspirated 5.2-litre V10. However, what I found, so that much of a muchness for the Audi, really. But the BMW M6, last year's winner, don't forget, really interesting. The 5-kilogram reduction and a rise in turbo boost as well. So, and if you look at the optimum lap times, the BMWs are right there on pace. So have they been playing the balance of performance game? Well, we might find out over the course of today.
Bruce Jones, ultimately, of course... What will it count for when we get to the race? Well, that's a question for the technical department and the manufacturer representatives to think about. But where did we stand at the end of yesterday as far as qualifying was concerned?
It got tighter and tighter, but in many ways it was... I suppose the notable element was the fact that the Mercedes were not any of them. I think the highest place was about 16th come the end, but... people are doing different things. That was a three-hour qualifying session. They know they're through to the top 30 shootout, effectively. It was working to the programme. We had Ferraris dotting their way into the top 10. Then right at the end, again, from probably the tail of the top 10, suddenly the FFF racing team Lamborghini Huracan with none other than Mirko Bortolotti, who else at the wheel, rose to the top of the charts. But the interesting thing was the increments between each of those runners in the top 10. In the first session, we were dealing in seconds. That session, we were dealing in tenths of a second. So it is very tight at the top. But I do think that phrase, working to the programme, is what a lot of the teams were doing. And in fact, the more well-fancied teams in this tended to be the ones that weren't really chasing a super, super quick time. That seemed to be the pattern that was emerging through the 3 hours. But notably, it was a dry session after a flurry of rain ahead of the morning qualifying. And just ahead of this one... we have drops of rain, only very light rain, on the lens of the helicam as it flies out over the circuit. So those 3 hours last night of full dry running were super, super useful. Mm. But then again, John, it's the Nürburgring. Maybe being good in mixed circumstances, mixed conditions, is actually the most accurate thing you can do. But a lot of track time and very, very few incidents was the story of last night.
Yeah, can't say the same for the young timer race, I'm afraid. We are off and running for this one-hour session with top qualifying still to come tonight. Teams... potentially then, if they get a clean track and a dry track, the teams in that top 30 shootout with potentially the best conditions to set a lap time. Everybody being reasonably sensible trying to get out of the pit lane. It's the usual sort of almost chaos in the pit lane. Bruce, what do you reckon we're going to see then? Because there were a few teams who were rather recalcitrant in the early running on Thursday in terms of coming out.
I think we will see those that are confident that they've had a really good run. It's only a one-hour session, so you know they can't really afford to hang back too much. But I think they're just going to wait and see, and they'll be checking their sort of weather forecast. But the car that was fastest last night, the FFF Racing Lamborghini, out it goes onto the circuit. That's car number 63. I don't know, with just an hour, and they'll have a look at what weather's coming up ahead of the top 30 shootout tonight. I think they're all going to go out. I really think some might hold back just to get track space. Track space on the Nordschleife with 122 cars, but you know what I mean. And I think it's just going to get very, very busy out there because a little bit of blue sky, but largely cloud overhead. So they know things are going to change. And if they want a bit more dry running, they've got to get it now, I think, because rain could fall in this session.
Peter Mackay, thoroughly excited by what we saw yesterday. The Toyota Altis did have a problem and stopped out on the circuit. The other Toyota Gazoo racing car continued. The 119 is out now. In as ever, manufacturers putting out all kinds of cars to give them an airing, maybe to test out some new technology. But it's absolutely dry, and there's even the vestiges of some weak shadows on the Grand Prix track, Peter. And people taking advantage of doing that cut round. And getting a bit of heat into whatever tyre company's wares they've got on either corner, each corner, before they head out under the hats and back.
Well, I think, as Bruce rightly said, although this is a very short session, just 60 minutes, could be critical to see how, of course, we've got a wide variety of cars and a wide variety of tyre manufacturers, and each team will need to get good information here on how they handle the mixed conditions. And tyre temperature is very important because you've got an opportunity, while it's dry on the Grand Prix circuit, get those tyres up to temperature as quick as you can, because if there is if there is moisture out on the Nordschleife, you're going to need that tyre temperature to maintain that grip. But it's going to be absolutely fascinating this session to see where we are and see if there's any change in the pace at the front in SP9. I don't know if we'll just need to see how that one plays out and if we see teams going for any kind of lap time.
Hello to Ian McCarthy. Absolute scorcher here, says Ian. Almost feels wrong to be indoors watching rage cars on the Nordschleife. Almost. Hashtag RSLN24. Thank you. All good for our socials on at RSL_studio. 8:31 is the Hyundai TCR in the N colourway. Official entry from Hyundai, and there's been some TCR balance of performance changes in that category as well.
There has, yes. Last year's winner, the Honda Civic Type R, has been given a 25 kilogram reduction. Of course, the two Hyundai cars, the i30N was quickest, and the Elantra, the 831 i30N was fastest, and the 830 Elantra Hyundai was second fastest. And the Honda has been given a significant leg up. And, 25 kilograms on one of those cars, that's a big, big adjustment.
Very big. That's almost half my weight.
Half of Danny Pedrosa's weight, maybe.
Well, yes, if only that was true. The conditions out on the Nordschleife, certainly in the run-up from Flugplatz towards the top of the hill, look pretty good, as still one or two cars with the windscreen wipers on down through into the foxhole. A few spits and spots there for Thomas Preining. Very well thought of Austrian, well thought of by Porsche. And he is out there at the moment and just has the wiper on intermittent as he was going down through the foxhole. In comes the 119. So that was just a quick out and around of the Grand Prix circuit for that Toyota. And back into the pit lane for a bit of a spanner check. That machine, the 119, is the Altis for Sutipong, Smitacharch, Natavuda, Charan Sukumatana, Manat, Kula, Palanont, and Natapong Hortenkum, the all Thai team. Car facing the wrong direction there at the top of Adanav Forst. It's one of the AMGs. I think that's the 17 car.
16,
Bruce.
He's racing Charles Espinal, but can't tell if he's hit the barriers. I don't think he has. I think he's just rotated, and the car is all but the very tip of its nose off the circuit on the grass. So conditions, it really feels like a rerun of the first qualifying session yesterday, except not quite as damp, but mixed conditions. And as you said, as they were getting to the foxhole, a little bit of rain on the windscreens, and Charles has just looped it round and hopefully can get going all over again. And that's when, with just a one-hour session, it really does focus the mind that you could be stranded and waste the entire session.
Number 13, Viper, is a car that we haven't talked about too much. This is the Viper CC GT3 from Fly and Help, with Bernd Albrecht, Reinhard Schall, Dirk Riebensam, and Sebastian Asch. And yes, that is a relation to Roland Asch. Sebastian's been in this race for a few years now.
It's an eco-friendly Viper, though.
It is another AT, is it?
Yes, it is. So it's a 8.7 litre V10 environmentally friendly Dodge Viper.
Well, they have run Vipers with two cylinders deactivated in the past, and effectively run them as a V8 as part of that when they were running them on, I want to say LPG, but I might be wrong. It might be in another. Alternatively fueled. More cars in the AT class this year than we've seen for a while. The Viper's there, we've got the Mustang, and there's a biofueled something else as well, isn't there?
Schmudo's car,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Also out at the moment, the rather more, well, take away the livery, and the GT4 Audi R8 looks exceedingly stock in the its profile, at least the GT Time Motorsport by WS Racing. That is Christina Nielsen, Pippa Mann, Celia Martin, and Carrie Schreiner, who are in that car. They were running down in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s yesterday, keeping out of trouble, getting up to speed in the dark grey and bright yellow of GT tyres, and just coming round the start finish line now, having had an exploratory lap of just the Grand Prix circuit down into turn one. Still evidence of, I think, earlier rain in the pit lane on some of the cars. They've still got a few spits and spots on them, and certainly the Rutronic car with Julian Andlau ready to get into that car, still with a few bits and pieces of raindrops on it. And there's been, if not a coming together, something very close to it out on the Nordschleife for the number 2 Audi R8. That's the car collection car. And I think that was the 22, was it? The 33, Falcon Motorsport car, because they were both there or thereabouts. Can't decide, Bruce, whether that they actually touched there or whether it was what the Air Accident Investigation Board would call a near miss.
Who needs door handles? I think they just avoided each other, but of course they were having to position themselves because they had a production class BMW, I think, just up ahead of them. Whether it was 33 Thomas Priding or 44 Muller, I do not know. They do tend to run around together, don't they, John?
Yeah, they've been doing that in the sessions, which is interesting. They were split on the timing screens a wee bit, but still both at the sharp end of things. And the times that we were talking about that were put in yesterday, they stand as it is at the moment as the qualifying times, unless anybody improves in this session. And we'll let you know about that. Nobody's put a representative time in. It will be the Audi Sport Team Phoenix R8 number 15, which will be the first one to come through, and it's got Dries Van Toor behind the wheel of that car. That should come round in a wee while, but I suspect that they will have been struggling like everybody else. And right in front of Sven Muller, what is it about the Falcon cars at the moment? Just coming down to that was Brunschen that they were coming down to and carving their way through traffic again in team formation. The two machines, and Nico Muller right in there in the Audi with a highlighter yellow BMW. Through goes Marco Mappelli, the singing V10 of the Lamborghini. It's the number 63 car, goes onto a lap for the Hankook FF racing team, fastest yesterday. Yeah, those times yesterday, Bruce, you know, we're talking about 5 seconds between the top 17, 18, under 6 seconds for the top 20 in the top class, which, given we're talking about 8 minutes 20, 8 minutes 18, it's not a big percentage, is it? That would be like seeing it Silverstone, then everybody was in about 4/10, really, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. It is a point of calibration. You just have to get your brain around the sheer length of the lap, 25.378 kilometres, or in the old money, 15¾ miles. Huge, but it will come down and down when we get to the top 30 shootout later this afternoon. But the moment where we had those two Falcon Motorsport Porsches running in very close company with the number two team car collection Audi, Thomas Preining cut up the inside of Nico Muller, but there wasn't enough space. So he fired earth from the side of the circuit right into the face of his own teammate. So really, really tricky times for the pair of them as they cut through traffic. And Sven Muller got a whole load of earth fired his way, but they got away with it. But what we're now starting to see is more speckle of rain on windscreen. So the session they thought might have dried out a little bit, but maybe the very first lap they went on the circuit was the lap the track will be driest in this 1 hour qualifying session.
Changes so quickly here when the sun does come out, if it does come out. And there are little bits of blue sky, I promise you, looking around. If you're sitting at home listening to us at the moment, there are a couple of 360 degree cameras which are very useful for weather watching. There's one on the entrance to the Nordschleife for the tourist laps, partway down the Dottiger Höhe, and you can move it around yourself or you can freeze it in a particular area and you can zoom out or zoom in. And there's one on the end of the TUV tower at the start of pit lane, right on the top, and again you can do the same thing. And normally if you're looking down towards turn one and from the TUV tower, turn one and slightly to the right there over the paddock, that's normally where the weather comes from. Not always, but normally. Team just getting ready to go out. Sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
Nordschleife, John.
Sorry, say again, Bruce.
Very good lap being put together by Dries Van Toor at the moment. Car number 15, you mentioned about 5 seconds covering the top dozen plus cars, almost the top 20. Well, that number 15 Audi Sport Team Phoenix R8 LMS was, unfortunately for them, down in 17th place. But we've got purple times in three of the sectors so far, and clear track, hallelujah, for Dries Van Toor as he comes back to the part of the circuit where the weather's better, which is over towards the pit and paddock. He's gone through the part where the rain is, it's only light rain, it's not heavy rain, is probably most making it most slippery. So it's looking like a very good lap being put together by him. And of the others, he's the only one who's lapped under, one of two drivers who've lapped under 8 minutes 30 at the moment so far in this session. A lot of the front runners, including that Lamborghini that's still fastest of all, Marco Mappelli at the wheel, they're doing nearly 8 minutes 40. So it's clearly Phoenix Racing are trying to right the wrongs of yesterday. The car is 10 kilos heavier because of the balance of performance, but the extra 6 horsepower being used to good effect by Dries, it has to be said.
just gone through at the bottom of the hill that leads up to the Caracciola Carousel. Aims for the end of the AMG hoarding there. Drops in. Wait. Got to be patient there. And if you get it right, you pop out of the concrete on the carousel like a cork out of a bottle. Uphill, right, left-handers coming up. You can use the hill just to slow you down a little bit. Maybe a slight dab on the brake. Stay over to the left-hand side for the first of the jumps. Down one gear. Turn in and commit to the right-hander. It is insanely quick in that middle section, and so many parts of it look exactly the same. Dries riding the curbs as he comes across the top. Stay to the right-hand side and then cut back in as he's coming down towards Brunchen through that left-hander. The camber helps you there. You make that a double apex. Then take one. Then breathe out to the outside and set yourself up for the second right-hander as he comes out of Brunchen up towards the ice curve. Again, climbing back up the hill again. This track faithfully following the topography of the Eifel region. And now through towards Flansgarden. All very fast. No lifts here. Another little jump. Use the block paving on the outside if you need to when you pop out of the wooded area. He's got traffic ahead of him, but I think, well, the blue flags are being shown. Very difficult to get out of the way at that point, and indeed the Cayman did not, and that is going to have cost Vanto some time. He'll not be happy as he comes across the bridge. No runoff on the right there as he heads into the Kleiner Carousel. Now through Galimkov towards the end of the lap and through the Gallows Hill onto the main straight, the Dotnikerhoa. Nothing. I mean, that's unusual in itself, Peter. Running down now, he's got absolutely nothing for 2 and a bit kilometres to the start-finish line.
Yeah, you very rarely see that, the Dotnikerhoa being completely clear. He would have been quite light. I think Dries Vantor would have really like to have come across that Cayman on the Dotnikerhoa, not at the Stefan Beloff S when he's absolutely flat out in sixth gear. And wow, he actually had to really get on the brakes to not run into the back of the Cayman there. There's been a few of those already, but it wouldn't be the Nürburgring without it. And Dries Vantor coming through the Tiergarten now, I think it still will be a very quick lap for the young Audi superstar, the 2019 winner here at the Nürburgring 24-hour. And for his age in the GT world, he's got to be one of the hottest young talents for sure.
Goes across the line, ninth position, which is, so is that an improvement then?
Yes, John, he's gained about 2.5 seconds, yes. And without the interruption, the blocking, but he is really, really confident to be able to run with that car so loose around the tighter corners. You can see him running to the edge of the circuit slightly beyond, as all the pro drivers do, but really skitterish. Perhaps he just committed and found the track wetter than he'd expected. But, you know, he's nothing if not bold behind the car. And I think he will actually quite enjoy looking at the replay of that lap, because he was milking everything he could get from his Audi. And yes, as John said, up into ninth place overall. Found 2.5 seconds and probably lost 2.5 seconds as well.
Yeah, easily. It does look as though that car is running quite soft. He was able to use quite a lot more kerb than I've seen some of the other GT3s, particularly around that run from for Brunchen down towards Flansgarden. He was riding some of the higher curbs and, in fact, dropping his right-hand tyres into the dirt a couple of times there, just trying to straighten out some of those sinuous left-right flicks at that area. And it rode it very, very well indeed. New second-place car. And this is interesting. Lamborghini still leads Peter Mackay, but we're starting to get times that are closing in on that 8:18 from yesterday evening.
Well, Mirko Bertolotti's lap under the cover of darkness last night is, for me, the lap of the weekend. Not just on the time, of course, but just how he just pulled it out right at the last moment in the session. And here's an interesting one for you. Mirko Bertolotti's lap last night, none of the other cars in the field have even matched that lap on their optimum sector-by-sector time. That's how quick he was. But I feel like we're going to see a real shuffle in the times here. When we saw spots of rain on the cameras, I didn't think that would be happening in this 60-minute session. But maybe it's what the motorcyclists call mental rain, where it's just sort of little bits of rain, you know, dropping off the windscreen, but not enough to cause a lack of adhesion.
So two Porsches, three Porsches now, second, third and fourth, with the Falcon car going through into second for Sven Müller, followed into the pits by his teammate Thomas Preining. Those two circulating 44 from 33, and they've both peeled off into the pits. It was a 8:21 from Preining, so that's about a second away from the best time that that car did yesterday. And problem for the number 78 Cayman. This is the very pretty shades of blue car, and that has had an off. That's the Allied Racing GT4 Cayman Club Sport in SP10. And behind the wheel of that at the moment is Nikolai Møller-Madsen. Oh, yeah, he's ran that up against the tyre barrier at the place I'm now going to call 928 corner, because that's where the beautiful GTS went over onto its roof in the race this morning. Nikolai gets the car off the track and gets it out of harm's way.
A runner-up in class last year, that car, so it looked like it wasn't too many damage panels there. Of course, that natural fibre panels, very eco-friendly panels they have on that Cayman GT4.
I saw that started a few years ago with an F3 car, actually, and a few people have gone down that route. At the same area that Nikolai Møller-Madsen's just gone off, which is the right-hander at Flugplatz, or just before Flugplatz. So you come up over the top of the brow, and then you've got that very, very quick and committed right-hander. We've got one of the GT Tyres BMWs with an issue. He's been in the wall as well, and that is the number 169. And that car then is the F30 BMW. James Brakel, David Drinkwater, along with Ulrich Schmidt in that car, and that has been in the wall as well. So obviously still quite tricky there, but that's a massive, massive commitment corner as you come up over the top of the rise. Now, that, which driver is that who's just got out of that cut, 169? I didn't manage to catch a name on the overalls. So we'll see if he's been picked up on the tracker.
It was James Brakel.
It was James, was it?
British driver, yeah. I've had a quick scurry, hadn't put a time on the board, and unfortunately, as you know, you get those diminishing returns when the tail starts to wag the dog. And I think on the greasy track round the back, that's precisely what happened. And as you know, John, at that part of the circuit, the corners are coming at you thick and fast. So the speed wobble becomes a bit of a crisis. So hopefully the damage not too bad. But that's what happens on the Nürburgring when you get mixed conditions. And the number five has gone for a spin, is sitting backwards, through its windscreen. One of the Phoenix Racing Audis. And don't forget, we saw Dries Van Tor just flying in one of them at the sister car. Unfortunately, he's doing that backwards and forward shunting manoeuvre to try and get off the circuit.
That looks like it's the, well, it's raining, and it's towards the end of the hats and back, so he hasn't got a million miles into the lap, and just grazes the tyre barrier bands on the left-hand side with the rear, but just a passing glance. It hasn't really even deranged the swan neck mounted rear wing, because that was above the tyre stacks and the banding, and that just got away from him. The slippery surface flag is being shown there. Oh, there was so now that might have just been paint from the banding. Jan-Erik Sluten behind the wheel of that car. He's driving it very slowly. Slow zone throughout 3 points at Hatton back. Marshall's post 67, 68 and 70. Not at 69, though. That's so you can get your foot down for about a dozen yards. The major issue for that 169 GT Tyres Racing F90 BMW, that's going to require a tow from one of the more elderly vehicles out on the Nürburgring, one of the Opel SUVs. For so long they had a fleet of sort of dark red and then gradually fading dark red Jeep Cherokees, the flat-fronted Jeep Cherokees. Some of them quite rare two-doors, and they were used for the intervention and the tow vehicles. Gradually, various corporate sponsorship has taken over. It'll be a bunch of Audis 1 year. A lot of Mercedes we've seen already this year. So halfway through this session, gentlemen, with one of the Audi intervention vehicles that we were just talking about, the RS6 Estate, just coming back down towards the Dottinger Hoer. It's not a safety car, so people don't have to pack up behind it. It is a rolling intervention vehicle, either having been at one of the incidents and now going back to a drop-off point where it can park off the circuit, or it's coming back towards the pit lane.
Just looking down in the SP10 class for GT4 cars, and we saw Nicolai Møller-Madsen going round in the number 78 Allied Racing Porsche Cayman. But fastest of all is Marek Bokman, Schnitzelarm Racing, Mercedes AMG. We always talk about Schnitzelarm around lunchtime, John, do we not? Of course, the famous restaurants in and around the, not too far from the circuit, but going very well. Marek Bokman sharing with Tim Neuser, Marcel Marcevic and Reinhold Renger, who also races under the name of Randy Walls. Go figure, but a very successful driver for Mercedes. So I think they've got a real star in that car. So look out for car 34. At the moment, it's only down in 48th place, but importantly, it's top in the SP10 class. And that's one of the better supported classes here in the 24 hours for production races. Well, no, they're special races, but obviously not as quite as special as the SP9 class cars for GT3.
So a little cessation in hostilities and teams bringing their cars into the pit, including that number 53 GT Racing, GT Tyres Racing. And that's an interesting little two-car class, Peter. It's that and the Lexus in that category. And the 53 Audi was much quicker than the Lexus yesterday.
A lot quicker, yes. The Lexus is now it's a very Japanese team name. It's Novo Racing with Toyo Tyre by Ring Racing. It's like one of the teams in the Suzuka Ator motorcycle race, but they're running a Lexus RCF with Takamitsu Matsui, a two-time class winner here at the Nürburgring and a GT300 champ in Super GT, but they're quite a wee bit off the pace of that GT Tyre Audi. I'm sure the girls in the number 53 GT Tyre Audi have got a lot of ambitions above where they are in their class, but always good to be in a good position for going into the race. Their pace looks very strong.
So as we say, halfway through, Kevin Estre on a quick lap at the moment in the 911 Manti Racing Porsche. They're sitting in fifth at the moment, 8:21.001. We've seen people go quicker than that. Sami Matti Trogen for Valkenhorst Racing, one of two well-known esports competitors. Sindre Setsas also in this race this weekend, but Sami Matti's just put the fastest lap of the Valkenhorst number 102 BMW in. That's an 8:20.494, and that's car's fastest lap of the week, Bruce. Fourth position for Valkenhorst BMW, and an improvement for the M6 GT3.
Super impressed by that. We know him from the iSport eSport world, but Sami Matti, he certainly wasn't in the fastest of the BMW M6s yesterday. That was alternately one of the Rover racing cars or the BMW junior team came up and was sitting pretty last night. But for Walking Horse Motorsport, two M6s in the Pro class and one in the Pro-Am, and they'll be delighted. You know, Henry Walking Horse, such a massive fan of racing, and he's just got a brilliant team that's going from strength to strength. But Sammy Matty Trogan will be making the regular drivers in that team sit up and pay attention. That was a really, really impressive 8 minutes 20.5 seconds. So he's getting within 2 seconds of the ultimate pace. So really closing in. That's great news for him.
Plenty of tyre talk yesterday, Peter. Probably a good idea to remind viewers and listeners, wherever they are in the world, that there is tyre competition here.
There is, and of course that lap time by Sammy Matty Trogan there, from we've got a lot of BMW M6s in the field, some on Michelin tyres, but this all of the Walking Horse cars, all three of them, are on Yokohama tyres. So I presume if you buy a BMW or you go to get your service at Walking Horse BMW dealerships here in Germany, I presume if you're getting new tyres, that's Yokohamas that will get fitted as a matter of course. But what an incredible 19 years old Sammy Matty Trogan to be setting those sort of lap times, absolutely amazing. But we shouldn't really be surprised. You know, he was a champion in the BMW M2 CS class last year at the Nürburgring, and of course got on the podium in the virtual 24 hours of Nürburgring. So he's an expert in the virtual Nürburgring and the real world as well.
Slow-moving Viper Bruce Jones out on the circuit, but I think that's just for the recovery of that GT BMW.
Yes, I think it was caution, the GT Curries, the GT Tires BMW 169 being just guided back through a gap in the barriers, and just taking another look at that Viper running in the AT class, car number 13. Now he's picking up the speed again. I think it was just sensible caution because there'd been a lot of yellow and red warning flags, slippery surfaces around. Actually, as I say that, he's not really getting back up to full speed. Maybe he's had his own moment in that. And Schneider bringing it home, not at full racing speed. That's Reinhard Schaal. And one of the KTMs is off at the side of the circuit now. So suddenly we're having a few fallers. And it's a bit like sort of race morning warm-up. You've only got an hour to go and play in this, and things have gone wrong. So just taking a look. It's a number 5 Audi. That's the Phoenix Racing Audi. Max Hoffer, Vincent Kolb, Dennis Marshall, and Jan-Erik Sluten. We saw him go round, John, and he's pulled off. But we thought just missed the tyre wall at Hatzenbach, but he's pulled off further round the circuit. So you can take a bit of a slip-up if there's a little spray of rain on the circuit here.
He's got a long way round, I think. That is at, I think that's at Kiddibach Hall. And so he's got a decent way around the circuit.
I don't think he's gone far. I think he's only at the Hatzenbach he came off.
Oh, that's a good point, yes.
Maybe, I don't know, 400 or 500 metres, something like that.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, well, not funny, it's interesting, is the fact that that's at Marshall Post 79. You think of most regular-sized circuits, you don't
went
get
off
past
at 68.
A dozen Marshall Posts.
Yes. He went off at 68, and he stopped at 79, so you're quite right, he hasn't got that far around. But there are 100, 200, I think 207 is the highest number of Marshall's Post, or of the Marshall's Post. As in,
I think it's more than that, John. I have to wait until someone goes off, let's say, for sake of argument, Galgenkopf, and then we can see from there on there aren't too many on the run back. But again, it just emphasises the sheer length of the Nürburgring Nordschleife.
Galgenkopf is 186 and 187.
Oh, okay. You're probably right. It's about 207.
However, Tiergarten has got 200 and 200A. So let me see. No, 207 at Hohenlein, the end of the lap, that little chicane at the end of the lap, just after Tiergarten. 207. So 25 minutes to go. I was about to say no changes for a while, and of course Martin Ragginger, the Rainmeister, pops up in second position for Falcon. So that's another improvement for Falcon, number 44, Peter.
Yeah, it is indeed. Yeah, 819.2 for Falcon Motorsports. So they're actually the although they're the quickest on outright speed of all the Porsche runners, but actually they're optimum sector by sectors are very, very strong indeed. In fact, slightly quicker than the Fricadelli and the Manti car. So Falcon will be very, very happy indeed, of course, running the Falcon tyre and showing that their tyres are working in these sort of unpredictable conditions. And yeah, you've got to think that they'll be up for having a go at the pole position run later on.
Maxi Goetz heading up towards Mutkurve and Klostertal on that edge of the ravine there to the right-hand side in traffic. Not much he can do at that position. Hurst has to follow his way through, see if he can make some way through in the moment. Sabine Schmitz's name on both of the Fricadelli cars and also on the Manti Racing 911 as well. Sabina tragically taken earlier this year. The team have pushed on, Bruce, in the best possible way of honouring the undisputed queen of the Nürburgring, one of the drivers of her era on the Nürburgring Nordschleife. And the Fricadelli team, her co-owned team with her partner in business and life, Klaus Abelin, have had a pretty good start to the Nürburgring racing season.
Absolutely, they have. They won one of the two rounds. But I guess in many ways, even more impressive was when the ADAC qualification race for this, 6 hours of frantic fun, and their cars, number 31 and 30, came home in first and second places to really set them up very well for this weekend. But as we look at the timesheets at the moment, as this session counts down to just over 20 minutes remaining from its hour, there isn't a Fricadelli Porsche in the top 10. Better place is the car that Dennis Olsen is driving at the moment, down in 15th, and the sister car with Matt Campbell in 18th. But don't be fooled, I think is all we can say. They've done the running, they've done the hard yards here on the Nordschleife. I expect in the final 15 minutes this session, coming soon, we'll see their cars back out, you know, on the circuit, starting to wind things up. But there are still cars turning around and causing yellow flags. The number 37 Mercedes facing the wrong way on the Grand Prix loop. So a little spin.
That's the Schnitzelheim
for
car.
Them, not helping anybody at all.
That's just like a rear grip on that Schnitzelheim car. This is the red, white and blue Dorrit-sponsored machine, although still entered by Schnitzelheim Racing GmbH in that AMG GT4, just losing rear grip, as I say. No harm, no foul there. And the Dacia Logan is out as well, and one of the Fricadelli Porsches. So all on the same part of the circuit. So our favourite things, food and strange front-wheel drive cars. All good. All at the same part of the Grand Prix circuit at the same time, Peter.
It is just hilariously wonderful, isn't it? The Dacia Logan spinning around. Now, here's a bit of trivia for you. What do the Dacia Logan and René Rast, Audi factory driver, have in common?
I'll buy it for a dollar. Go on.
René Rast was the 2013 Dacia Logan Cup winner, which I'm sure he ranks up amongst his three DTM championships.
It's funny, he's never mentioned it.
Wonderful little cars, wonderful.
Just to let you know, it's pace last night, yet to put a lap on the board today, just starting one now, 12 minutes 39, just a whisker under 12 minutes 40 last night for the flying 118 Dacia Logan. Let's see what can be managed today, but four drivers coming to have fun in that. I mean, it's got to be fun, but by golly, you're going to have to be on your toes at all times. Running a production class car right down there.
So into the last 20 minutes now, guys. And we're seeing some green on the timing screens. We've had the Rover Racing number 98 car go its fastest lap of the week. Not just today. These are running totals, if you will, Bruce. The timing system here picks up where we left off yesterday evening at, what was it, 11:30 or so yesterday evening here at the Nürburgring Nordschleife. And so what we're seeing in terms of on the timing screen, and those people who are tuned in from around the world watching the timing screen, not necessarily times that have been set today, but anything that is going green or purple, it is, or green certainly further down, is an improvement, and that is taking them up the starting grid.
We've had about half a dozen within the top 20 have improved their position, but one thing, not very good if you're a fan of the three-pointed star. At the moment, the best placed Mercedes is the number six HRT Mercedes, the Hout Racing team, Nico Bastian at the wheel, in 20th place. 24 hours ago or so, that was the fastest car in the wet and then drying qualifying session. We didn't see any real pace from the Mercedes last night, and the AMGs are not in the mix. 20th in the hands of Nico Bastian. Raffaele Marcello, car number seven of Team GetSpeed, is 22nd. There's another in 24th, Manuel Metzger, the other car from Team HRT, but it's not looking pretty at the moment. But then again, the qualifying session has still got 17 and a half minutes remaining. They could be winding it up. But overall, looking at the sector times across our timing screens, and there are nine sectors of this enormously long lap, I can't see anybody making any improvement at all at the moment. Maybe in the next 5 minutes or so, they'll start to go for it. But right now, maybe it is just that little bit more greasy. But also, how many laps in the last 10 minutes, John, have not been interrupted by a car that's had a spin or cars that are being recovered? Almost every lap for every driver is being interrupted at the moment.
It's Bruce Jones. He is with Peter Mackay. I'm John Heindorf. This is Radio Show Limited across our sound and vision channels this weekend. Plenty of endurance racing for you. RS1 for the audio if you're travelling around or you're maybe sitting in the car. Best not to have the video running, I would think. Get it through your Bluetooth speakers for the wonderful sounds, at least, of the Nürburgring Nordschleife. Nico Bastian working his way on the, about to turn on the run for home and head down the Flansgarden now. And if you are travelling about, as I say, you can get all of the audio from our broadcast this weekend on RS1. Over on RS3, as well as a separate video channel from tomorrow, it'll be Recard ELMS with JP, Johnny Palmer, the voice of WEC and ELMS for us, and he'll have Graham Goodwin with him as well. A choice of viewing and listening, I think they call that. Basically, you can drop in between them, or you can multi-screen, can't you? That's the idea. There's never enough motor racing going on.
I think Hayley Edmonds in pit lane as well at Ricard, I believe.
If you say so.
yes. My co-host on the Porsche Sport podcast. Right. She's in pit lane for ELMS.
She lives in France, though, doesn't she?
She does indeed.
That'll be the answer to that question then, because obviously travel restrictions from the UK have prevented a few people going over, or have had to make them go over a wee bit earlier. There's a mandatory 7-day quarantine for anybody going into France at the moment from the UK. 14 days. That's 10 days maybe, actually, for Germany, which has affected a few people's plans. Klaus Backler has bought the 33 Porsche 911 from Team Falken Motorsports into the pits. It's put on its dolly jacks. That doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with the car, because the cars are spun round around about 45 degree angle because of the restrictions on space in the pit lane, with 123 cars I think we saw yesterday. Bruce, correct me if I'm
afraid I'm going to have to correct you. It was 122. You're exaggerating again, John.
I'm sorry.
We did lose three. We hoped they'd come out, but bearing in mind, in a regular year, and we know we're not in a regular year, we'd hope to be having about 160 on a fantastic year, 180. But I think I can easily imagine those numbers coming back next year. as long as everybody keeps getting their jabs. But again, the model we've seen in racing, and particularly with the Nürburgring-Langstrecken series, because we raced through last year, they had very, very effective social distancing model. They had refueling for some of the teams in the paddock. The cars would drive into the pit lane, turn hard right under the pit building, and it was a really clever way of spacing people out through the paddock so that we could go racing. And racing we did do. And it really was a massive accolade and very much a model for, I think, a lot of other championships that would have smaller fields. They could see they could do it here at Nürburgring. We can do it with ours. And I think a lot of teams really spread it, and the championship organisers for keeping us all going last year.
This from Joe Ginsinger. Since Corvette Racing is moving to GTD in IMSA next year, is there a chance of a C8 at the N24 next year? Probably not, because they're not moving to GTD next year. They are hoping to get their car BOP down to GT3 levels. It doesn't make it GT3 compliant. So it isn't a GT3 car. It's just going to be the same car as this year, the GT Le Mans car, but either with more weight or bigger restrictors or a large anvil strapped to the back of it dragging along the ground. There would, however, there is precedent for people entering cars into this race that don't fit within the classes, and that, to a certain extent, is what SPX is for, because the Glickenhaus isn't, by homologation, a GT3 car. It's built to vaguely GT3. Well, GT3 don't have technical regulations, but it's based on that philosophy. And Jim Glickenhaus was telling us on Wednesday they're getting much closer to having produced the required numbers of road cars, street cars, to get that even closer. So there is an opportunity for GM to do something. They've got a GT4 car in the Camaro, of course, but that we haven't seen that here. He says, we've had various GT3 alike Corvettes in the past from various teams, including some German teams as well. But GM haven't been open to even letting the GTE cars, the GT Le Mans cars in recent times going into private hands. It's not a customer program, not seen as a customer program for that. So I think that's a long way of saying probably not. To be honest, Joe. So apologies for that. Hello to Matt Dean. Said plenty of us in the UK watching superb coverage. Thank you very much for that. And we'll pass on your best to those doing the hard work, the camera operators and those in the TV compound here at the Nürburgring Nordschleife. RSL, as ever, stepping in to put the audio with it, producing the sound on the radio as well, which will continue across the whole weekend. Good to know you're tuned in, Matt. And Elio Filipponi says, on the subject of that, is there anything stopping a team entering a GTE car at the N24? Only what I just said. It would have to enter in, I think, SPX probably, and I don't know what they would do to get the car back to a GT3 sort of spec. I seem to remember when the last time that happened, when GTE cars were far less sophisticated from now. There was a Ferrari that came from the Spa 6 hours, and with a few changes in the bodywork, and I think a brake material change as well on that car. It wasn't as easy as I'm making it sound. That car was entered in what is now SP9. Ferrari GTEs, the 488s, are backwards compatible to turn it back to a GT3 car, but it's not inexpensive and it's not the work of a moment. It's not something that you could do overnight. But there is not, Elio Filipponi, a GTE class here. So they would have to find some way of submitting to BOP, which would probably mean losing, gaining a lot of weight and losing a lot of horsepower, because the aero on those cars is very, very highly developed. Now, that would hurt them down the long Dottinger Hur, which is probably another reason why we don't see that happen, but they'd be mighty through the corners. These cars in racing terms, the GT3s, still aerodynamically dependent, but in GT car terms, quite slippery down the straight. Not so for GT Le Mans. I think we've got the answer on... Oh, no, that's another Audi. I was about to say the number 5 Audi moving again, and it's got damage on the right front, but it's the Lion Speed by Car Collection Motorsport Audi that's had the ding on the front end. Right-hand side, bodywork missing, part of the front valance missing. It's limping round at the moment towards Brünnchen, and fat all down the right-hand side. Looks like it's been a little ding in the left rear as well. And that is the Jean-Louis Hertenstein. Yeah.
Yes, he's knocked that, I think, the twice, John. The classic right. Front and back combination. But unfortunately for him, it was getting towards the end of the lap when that happened. And also, unfortunately for the crew, they're down in 38th position overall. They're running in the Pro-Am class. And unfortunately, that was clearly a little bit of an Amish moment. And they don't have long until qualifying. Won't be in the top 30 shootout as it stands.
Twice a class winner is Jean-Louis. Just shows you it can bite you at any moment.
So little in terms of room for making mistakes. We hear in various sports about the 1% as making the difference. That's normally talked about with regard to incremental improvements and just trying to optimise everything. 1% here is the difference between sometimes winning the race and ending up with the car in pieces small enough to pack up in a bin bag and take home. It really is that unforgiving around here. Talking about Corvettes, Peter, we've had the guys from Callaway based here in Germany trying to run Corvettes in GT3 alike specification in the past?
Well, of course, they run the C7 generation, the one generation behind Callaway Corvette in the ADAC Masters, but we don't really see it many other places. Those who know me will know that I'm a bit of a Corvette fan. Who isn't? But it would be cool to see an alternative of that, of the C8. But the thing about Corvettes is they are built as factory racing cars to be run by a company that, well, sends satellites into space. So they don't they're not built as customer cars from the ground up. Like, for example, this, you know, the Audi that's R8 that's limping around at the moment back to the pits. So it's a tricky one. I wonder if that philosophy will change over time. But it's certainly been the Corvette racing way for, well, goodness, over 20 years now.
Justin Henderson said, are Corvettes not going to become full GT3 eventually? I thought the GT Le Mans BOP to GTD Pro next year was only a temporary measure while the GT3 is being built. Laura Wantrup-Klausner talked to us, admittedly, a wee while ago now, but not years ago. I'll look back and tell you when it was, actually. Said there was no plans at the moment to build another GT car, neither GT3 or GT4. And that they wanted to get as much use out of the current C8R as possible. Now, they can still race that in the WEC. And she said the likelihood of doing more WEC rounds with that car is being looked into to get value from that. Because effectively, that's, you know, only a year old, that car, isn't it? So they'd expect it to get 3 or 4 years, possibly even more, out of that car, out of that platform. GT4, they admit they made some mistakes with the Camaro about how it was developed, and they certainly wouldn't go about it the way they did before. If you go on to radio-show.co.uk and just search I'll use the search bar and just put Laura Wantrup-Klausner in there, and you'll find that interview. It was in a Midweek Motorsport. And I'm pretty certain that that is, well, no, in fact, I know that she was the big interview that week. So it will be there. Say again, Peter, sorry?
I remember listening to it, stuffing my face with McDonald's in the McDonald's car park.
Excellent.
Actually, very enjoyable.
It's
on all counts.
Series 16, episode 4, so early part of this year. So if you go on to RadioLeMond.co or radio-show.co.uk, search Midweek Motorsports tab for Series 16, episode 4. Very interesting chat with Laura, who is the head of GM's racing, GT and endurance racing program. So, I don't think, short answer to that again is I don't think we're going to see a developed, purpose-built Corvette GT3 for quite some time. And in fairness, Justin, the other part of that is there are new GT3 regulations due in 2023 that have been jointly worked on by the FIA and the ACO. So there wouldn't be much point in trying to develop a current generation GT3 car. The new regulations are said to address quite a lot of the issues with the current ones, where there aren't really any technical regs. It's more about replicating and working to a passport for the car, and therefore every nut and bolt and panel has to be identical on every car every time it comes to the track. Because it's a BOP formula, you understand why that's so important, because various series around the world do BOP for GT3. Therefore, you've got to keep presenting the car in exactly the homologation. It's why, for example, in this race, the Space Drive car is in SPX, because it isn't GT3 compliant, because it doesn't have the same steering system as the GT3 car. So the work that's been done by ACO Technical and the FIA Technical Working Group for Endurance is to build a more technically based set of regulations that you can look at and say, well, this car fits into that and this car doesn't. Rather than at the moment, a GT3 is pretty much, you can bring whatever you want, and so long as it fits in the performance box and it fits and it comes back every time looking the same. I was talking to somebody who, the guys at Bentley were saying they took over 4,500 pictures when they did their homologation forms for GT3, because that becomes then the reference for every GT3 Continental that races in GT3 around the world, and that becomes, if you like, the technical passport. It's an extraordinarily large amount of work, but what it has done is allowed a hugely different amount of cars from different philosophies and different car manufacturers to compete on a relatively even playing field. Nick Yololi in the defending champion BMW M6 GT3 from Rover Racing, the Rover Oils car, struggling to get past one of the Caymans, just heading out of Adenauer Forest and about as far away as you can get from the pit lane as he heads down towards Callenhardt.
It was an SP9 911.
Was it?
Yes, either the KCMG car or the Huber car. I think it's more likely to be the Huber car. There was some contact there, for sure. I think quite some frustration from both drivers there. Interesting.
Well, it must be said, the sister car, though, just went up to third place overall, the sister Rover Racing M6. Marco Wittmann, while no one was looking, wound it up. Kevin Estra's putting in a spectacular lap. Spectacular, not though in terms of the screen going pink. For that, you need to look for Frank Stippler, who's going very well in the middle part of the circuit. And the Lamborghini we haven't talked about so much, as that Audi limps past the pits. Axel Jeffries down towards the end of the second 10 of cars. He's in 19th place. The Conrad Motorsport car starting to put some very quick laps together. And I can't for the life of me work out why the battered Audi has continued. I mean, I see he's going to go round the back of the pits, of course, and in that way, of course, that's what he's got to do. But he's not going to make it, John, that extra long into the pits where you have to curl round and come in the backside. Hasn't been kind to him. There's the regular pit entry would have worked.
I was going to say there is normally a gate right where he is, but I think that's blocked off at this point. And the right front of that stricken number 12 Audi from Lionspeed by Car Collection, we're seeing parts of the suspension that we ought not to be able to be eyeballing from outside the car, as that car has come to a stop and we've got a slow zone in the foxhole as well, not to do with this car. Kevin Estrey heading, and where's Kevin? He's heading up towards Caracciola Carousel in the 911 Manti with all kinds of cars in front of him, including the Schnitzel Alm AMG GT3 carrying the Durant Hotel colours ahead of him.
Well around the lap there. Manuel Metzger has put a Mercedes into the top 10, so there has been an improvement. That is the number 4 out racing team entry, Team HRT, and he's putting in a good lap. Oh, a second pink sector in a row for Axel Jeffries. I saw he was starting to light up the screen, still down in 19th place, but by the end of this lap, I think we could see him vaulting into the top 10 in the Conrad Motorsport Lamborghini. That's car number 19. Almost all of the top runners, bar the very top running Lamborghini, that's the FFF racing team, number 63, Huracan. That's in the pits. So is the BMW junior team, M6. But pretty much everyone else in the top 15 to 20 cars is out on the circuit. And the clock has counted down to the end of the hour. So that when they get to the start-finish line, that is that.
So more problems, Peter, in this session than we saw in the two put together yesterday, with people hitting the wall, damaged cars limping back or not. Starting to ramp up. I said we'd notch it up another click or two at the end of last night's session, and it certainly seems to be going that way.
Yeah, it really seems like the stakes have risen, and these have been really tricky conditions, I would say, in this session. Short session, and you know, is it raining, is it not? And in some places it's dry, in some places it's just little wet patches. So, yeah, it's been a real challenge for the drivers, and it's bitten a few teams quite badly, and they'll have a lot of work to do to get those cars back repaired again. But I tell you what, it was very impressive yesterday. Axel Jeffries in that number 19 Conrad Lamborghini, he was really impressing. And remember, that car is in the Pro-Am class in SP9. And I was looking at the times earlier. I think it would be my pick for the Pro-Am class tomorrow and on Sunday. Their pace is right up there with some of the SP9 Pro cars. So let's see what Axel can put in on this final flying lap.
Weather has really been keeping everybody guessing. Still overcast, but warm. And for the most part, the track has, I said dried out as a relative term. There's still parts of it that looks rather more greasy and slippery than I would like at any time. Estra absolutely on it as he comes through to the end of the lap.
Jeffries has put the Conrad Lamborghini top by a huge margin. He's about 3 seconds better than the best so far.
Here comes Estra to the line, 8:22. Eighth position, but that was a super time for Axel Jeffries, and that's more like it. 8:15.225, Bruce. That's getting down to the sort of numbers we're hoping to see if it stays dry in top 30 shootout later.
Absolutely so he's clear by over 3 seconds, 3.3 seconds. Another good lap from Manuel Metzger. He went up to 10th to be the best Mercedes. He's now up to 5th, so the order does keep shuffling. It did so last night when we had Bortolotti go right to the top, but that was in the other Lamborghini. But at the moment we've got Lamborghini first. That's the Pro-Am entry, number 19 from Conrad Motorsport, and still by dint of last night's time, second place FFF racing team Huracan. They've got two Lamborghinis here. One is first, one is second. Last few cars coming to complete their lap. Been a little bit of late shuffling, but that lap, 8 minutes 15.225 seconds for the flying Zimbabwean very impressive. And all the races he's done recently in the NLS are starting to pay off, I think we can say. That was a cracker of a lap.
Someone here won't complete the lap, Schubert Motorsport, in the Cup 5 BMW M2 Club Sport. That's the natural successor and the entry point to BMW M Racing ownership. Takes over from the 235 and the 240, although we've still got a 240 class in this race. And that Schubert car, 890, stuck at the end of the foxhole. Right in the run to Adenauer. 69 Porsche, I'm told, by Matt, who was in the future on the other side of the world, that was involved with the BMW at that same point of the track. Adenauer at first earlier on when we saw Nick Yellerly, wasn't it, getting held up on what looked to have been a decent lap to that point. That's the team Klickenschlägerung Day 8. Only two drivers on my list there against that. I suspect that is not the case. In fact, it cut, well, I suppose if they just kept doing 3 hours on, 2 hours off. You could do that. But that's no way to do a 24-hour race. It's Ironman stuff. So one or two cars still to come round. But if I scan down the nine sectors, I don't think at the moment we've got anybody who is going to improve. Jump in by all means, gentlemen, if you feel that I'm talking complete nonsense. Looking through the classes, Glickenhaus for SPX, KTM Crossport for True Racing, for Cup X, Black Falcon, SP Pro, I think they were all as they were at the end of yesterday. I'm looking down to see if I can see any changes. SP10, is that Schnitzelarm Racing Mercedes, the number 34? Schubert, yes, they were in Cup 5 before. That's the car that's struggling and in fact has stopped, but they are top of the Cup 5 class. 53 top of their class, as they were in the Audi R8 for GT tyres. Volker Strychek for the Opel Manta, SP3, Hyundai. Yeah, I think that's pretty much as it was in most of the other classes. When we come to the race, by the way, our hourly updates, we'll do half of the classes on the odd hours and half on the even, just so that you keep up to date with perhaps some people that you're following. I'm very happy as well if you haven't got the access to the online timing. If you want to tweet us at RSL_studio using the hashtag RSLN24, happy to update you on anybody that you're keeping a particular eye on. So, Q3 is complete. Thanks for joining us for that. And it's Lamborghini who head the timesheets. Axel Jeffries with a stunning time, putting him 3.5 seconds ahead of the Hankook Lamborghini. So two Lamborghinis at the head of the field, ahead of Porsche from Falcon, that's the 44 car. Then it's the best of the BMWs, Rover Racing, the teammate to the winning car last year, the number 98. Then Manuel Metzger was last in the team HRT, number 4, Mercedes in fifth. And the rest of the top 10, Falcon, number 33, Valkenhorst, number 102, Porsche and BMW, Manti, Porsche, number 911, BMW Junior Team, and their M6, at number 77, and the top 10, that Routronic Racing Porsche, Julian Andlau brought that one in 10th position. So, still to come then, what is always a wonderful spectacle. We have the final qualifying, what is called top qualifying, and we'll be on the air for that around 6:15 Central European Time, 5:15 in the UK. Sound and vision together. Even if you have, it's a visual and audio delight. Really, really impressive. And fingers crossed that the weather stays much as it is now. They'll take a little bit of overcast. They'll absolutely take that. They don't want it too hot for the engines. But let's hope it stays dry. If that's the case, it will be the quickest that we see the cars run the whole weekend. Effectively, a single car qualifying. They're set off at intervals from the start-finish line. We've still only seen 122 of the 125. There's a handful of cars that didn't come out in this afternoon session that came out yesterday. So we'll keep an eye on those to see if they've had more serious problems. But for the moment, and on behalf of all of our camera operators around the Nürburgring and the Nordschleife, our technical team here trackside and over in London, thanks very much to Hugh for getting us and keeping us on the air, and all of our colleagues with the pictures. Thank you, Michael and René at Nürburgring TV. It was Bruce Jones, Peter Mackay. I'm John Hindorf. Join us again at 6:15, 6:15 Central European Time, 5:15 if you're in the UK. Top qualifying is the final bit of action on this Fast Friday for the Total ADAC 24 Hours of the Nürburgring 2021. Bye-bye.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.